If you will, open up a copy of the Scriptures to John chapter 14. While you're turning there, let me just say that I know of late some have been telling me that they've been having a hard time hearing me when I get quiet. And I will do my best today to speak loudly. And if for some reason I seem to be drifting off, just give me a little sign and I will try to take note of it, in order that you may hear the Word of God proclaimed. John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen me. Lord, Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Well, let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, how we delight in this day, because it is a day that we can delight in you. We thank you that we are gathered here as your blood-bought children. We thank you that we have come together to worship the worthiness of your great name. Lord, we thank you that you have made a way possible that we might come to you. We thank you that Christ Jesus is that way. And Lord, we thank you that he is the only way. We ask you this morning that as we seek to understand your word, that you would send forth your spirit, that you would grant me help as I speak, that I might be plain in declaring the words of the Savior. And we ask that you would help your people to hear, that they might grow more in love with this precious one. Lord, we also ask that if there are any here that are hearing the gospel and do not know this Savior, the only way to God, that today they will repent of their sins, that they will find Him to be the surest, the safest, the best, yes, and the only way to heaven, and that they would reach out and touch Him and receive from Him the healing power that grants them forgiveness from all their sins. Lord, be with us in this coming hour. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There is a place of untold riches, of inexhaustible treasures, and of abundant wealth. Do you want to go there? There is a land where prosperity multiplies, and where there is no end to its opulence. Do you want to go there? There is a place of perfect happiness and of unending rest. A place where you are always satisfied, always at peace, always rejoicing, and always enjoying. Do you want to go there? There is a place of that is undisturbed by the cares and toils of this world. There are no burdens there. There are no trials there. There are no difficulties there. Not at all. Do you want to go there? There is a place where there is no groaning, there is no grumbling, there is no anger, there is no hatred, there is no jealousy, nor discontentment. There is no pride, selfishness, nor lust. There is no sin in this place. As one has said of it, nothing unclean can ever enter in to this land. Do you want to go there? This place is described to us in the Scriptures as a place where there are no tears, where there is no death, nor mourning, nor crying, nor pain. Do you want to go there? There is a place where God dwells in the midst of His people and where His Son reigns with the scepter of righteousness. Do you want to be there? And in this place, there is security. Such security that you can never fall away from this place. That you can never leave this place once you are there. And that you will never be sent out of this place. But it will be yours for all of eternity. Do you want to go there? This is the place where the Son of God sits in all of His glory. Do you want to be there? Such a place really begs the question, is there a way for me to get there? The answer to this question is found in our text before us this morning. And simply stated, yes, there is a way to get to this place. There is a way to unending happiness and joy untold. There is a way to the Father's presence. There is a way to have peace with God. And so this morning, let us open up this text and see more about this way. God would have us know not so much about this place as it is grand and glorious to know about it, but He wants us to be certain of the way to get there. And He wants us to focus on that way. And so this morning, what I want to do is give a bit of brief context, because this passage is packed full. And I think it will be helpful to unpack a little bit of what comes before in order for us to get to these amazing words of our Savior. And then after that, we'll open it up under two very simple headings. We will see that Christ is the way to heaven. And we will see that Christ is the way to heaven because He is the truth. And He is the life. John chapter 14 begins. Jesus is with His disciples. He has been speaking to them concerning His impending departure. His crucifixion is now drawing near. The disciples' hearts are no doubt burdened and confused. Father, they have just heard from the mouth of their leader, their Savior, the one whom they love, that there is going to be one of them who is going to forsake Him, who is going to abandon Him, and who is going to turn Him over. He's going to betray Him. And then they've heard from the mouth of their Savior that there is one of them, Peter, who is going to deny Him three times. The one who has claimed, I will never deny this one. It could never happen. And Jesus says, oh, it will most certainly happen. You see, the disciples' hearts are overwhelmed. They were probably wondering as Jesus spoke to them concerning these things, what would become of their own commitment to Christ? Would they prove to be shipwrecked? Would they prove themselves to deny the Savior? You see, these disciples have left everything to follow the Savior. They have left their families, they have left their jobs, they have left their homes, they have left all that they know to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And now Christ is telling them that He is going to leave for a time, that He must go. Do Do you think that maybe they're thinking, what do you mean that you must go? We have left all to follow you, and you've been telling us that you're going to be handed over to the Pharisees, that you're going to be crucified and be raised again on the third day. But they don't understand all of this yet. They aren't quite getting everything. And so they're not only confused, but they're overwhelmed and they're disheartened by what Christ is speaking to them. Having heard that their leader is leaving them, his disciples are devastated. You see, these men have confessed that this Christ, this Jesus, whom they love, is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. They certainly know who the Savior is. Yet they still have not fully grasped all that He is and the purpose for which He has come. Their hearts, as the text indicates, are deeply troubled. So, Christ comes to them. And if you read John chapter 12, 27, you would discover that Christ comes to them with troubles of His own. His own heart is deeply distressed and troubled because of the prospect of what He is about to undergo for their sakes. But He Himself, being deeply troubled, shows no interest in Himself, denies His own trouble, and with a compassionate heart comes to them and comforts them. And listen to the words that Christ tells His confused and troubled disciples: let not your heart be troubled. And really, He goes on, believe in God, believe also in Me. He continues to strengthen them by assuring them that they are to trust in the One whom they have already forsaken all things to follow and to live for. Believe in God and believe also in Me. And He will go on to explain even more of why. Christ, with the prospect of unimaginable pain and suffering like no man has ever experienced before, comes to His disciples in their time of need and is offering them encouragement, is strengthening them with these sweet words: let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions, or many rooms, many places of dwelling. The emphasis here is not on how grand and great these places are. The emphasis here is that there is room enough, and room enough for all of them to be there with Him. He says, I would have told you if it were not so. I go to prepare a place for you. Christ is going away. He is leaving His disciples to make sure that there is a place for them. And ironically, the way that He is offering His disciples comfort right now is by telling them that He must depart, that He must go away in order to prepare a place for them. You see, this is supposed to strengthen their hearts. He is leaving them. But you see, in leaving them, He is not forsaking them. It is precisely the opposite. It is in His leaving that He is making certain that they will never be forsaken. It is in His leaving that He is making certain that they will have a place with Him for all eternity, and that He will return to bring them to Himself. You see, Christ going away for His disciples is absolutely necessary if they want to be with Him. If He doesn't leave, they can never be with the Savior. His leaving is for their benefit, and further, really, As we will see, if He doesn't leave, then He has no right to make the claim that He will make in a few verses. It is in His going that He is doing the preparing. You say, what do you mean? The going of our Savior refers to the entirety of His work as mediator between God and man. That is to say that it is His incomprehensible incarnation that He is speaking about. It is His indescribable sufferings. It is His ignominious crucifixion. It is His compelling resurrection. It is His glorious ascension and His unsurpassed exaltation and unequaled intercession that prepare a place for us with the Father. And so He must leave. And He states, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Do you see what the Savior is saying there? If I go and do all of this, then there's no way I'm not coming back for you. Let me give you just a little bit of an analogy. Take a husband or a man who has met the woman that he wants to marry. He has found the bride that he desires with all of his heart. And then he goes and he promises her, "You're going to be with me forever. And I'm going to give you riches untold. I'm going to give you a peaceful and tranquil home. I am going to give you a place where you feel nothing but love. It will be safe from all of your enemies. There will be no threat of us ever parting or anything ever coming between us. But I need to go and first secure that for you." Can you imagine this man saying, "Okay, I promised her this, so what do I need to do to make certain that those promises are fulfilled? I've told her, you know what? There will never be anything or anyone that can separate you and I from one another. So I'm going to go and make sure that I conquer all the enemies of us that would seek to destroy our relationship. I am going to go and make secure a land and a place of dwelling. I am going to go build a house so that you will be able to have a comfortable place to live." He is making all the necessary, and meeting all the necessary requirements for Him to fulfill every one of His promises of love for her. If He goes and wins the battles, if He goes and slays the dragons, as it were, so that they can dwell in a safe place, if He goes and buys her new garments because the filthy ones that she's wearing will not do, she needs to be beautified. And if He really, in one sense, gives everything He is to have her with Him, do you not think that He's going to come back and get her and take her to the place where He is? He's saying, "My going is procuring your happiness. My going is necessary so that you can be with me. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And here's Thomas, confused and not fully understanding yet all that Christ is saying this side of the cross. "Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way?" And here, Christ, with these unbelievably powerful and precious and wonderful words, says to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Our Savior is saying to the disciples, "You do know the way. And you know the way precisely because you know me." So Christ, knowing their feeble hearts, He understands that they are troubled. He comes to the ones He loves and He answers them, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Well, in our time this morning, we want to discover more of what Christ means here. If you will, what I want to do this morning is I want to measure out this grand statement. And I want to measure it in two ways. I want to measure it in the first place by looking at the narrowness of this statement. And then in the second place, I want us to go and measure out just a little bit of the depth of what the Savior is claiming. So in the first place, the narrowness of the Savior's claim. "I am the way." That, coupled with the fact that He then comes with this little clause after His next two statements, "and no one comes to the Father except through me," really shows us where the emphasis lies in this passage. It lies on the fact that Christ and Christ alone is the way to the Father. Christ and Christ alone is the way to the untold riches that we spoke of when I opened up this morning. He and He alone is the way to happiness and joy forever. He alone is the way to be satisfied, and He alone is the way to have peace with God. And this is the message that He is plainly conveying to His disciples in this text. "I am the way." You know, we live in a day and age where there are supposedly countless ways to get to the Father. The Muslims have their way. The Mormons have their way. The spiritualists have their way. And quite frankly, most everyone wants you to say, well, everyone's way is okay. Because in one sense, all roads of faith, or for that matter, all roads lead to the Father. And that is what the world would have you believe, and that is what Satan would have you believe. But that is not the truth. And that is not what Christ says here. You know, there's that bumper sticker that's out. It just makes me mad every time I see it. It says coexist. And it spells out coexist with different symbols from different faiths. You know, there's a cross, and you know, and then there's the sign for New Age, and then there's there's the Star of David. And it goes on, and it spells out coexist. And basically what they're saying is, all roads lead to God. Just get along. Just get along. Well, it's the dumbest bumper sticker in the world, because if they understood anything of any of those religions, they would realize that that's an absurd thing to say. Religions that claim the only right to God can't get along. But that is the day and age in which we live. And so this statement comes to us in a very, very powerful way. It comes to us saying that there is only one way. You see, in light of the inclusive and ecumenical religious atmosphere that we live in, this statement is astonishingly exclusive and narrow. Christ is not stating that He is an option among many options. He is not even stating that He is the best option among many options. No, Christ is saying, if you want to get to the Father, if you want to be in heaven, I am the way, and I am the only way without exception. He is claiming that there is no other alternative way to the house of God. There is no other way into the presence of His Father. This man stands before these disciples, and he is claiming that you not only need to come to the Father through me, but that you have to come to the Father through me, and that you cannot get to the Father unless you are coming to Him through me. You see, there is no other way for your sins to be forgiven. There is no other way for you to have peace with God. Christ is stating that He and He alone can accomplish that for you. By claiming that He has exclusive rights to being the only doorway into heaven, Christ is making plain that He is also the only fountain that is opened up to cleanse you from your sins and all your uncleanness. He is saying that He is the only way to be freely justified by grace and to have peace with God. He is saying that there is no other person or no other way that your sins can be cast away, that they can be borne, and that the wrath of God can be appeased except in Me. He alone can drink that cup, and He alone can provide for us eternal happiness. There is no other way. Do you know that? Do you know that Christ and Christ alone is the way to the Father? This is the declaration, the witness of all the Scriptures. Acts 4:12, when Peter is preaching, I can hear him proclaiming, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. 1 Timothy 1:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. One mediator. Listener, hear Christ saying, I am the way and the only way. Little children, He's saying to you, there is no other way. You cannot bank on the faith of your parents. You cannot hope in the religion of the Reformed Baptist Church of Louisville. You cannot hope that just one day, maybe, you'll come to faith. You can't just hope that your parents' faith will get you into heaven. It won't do. Christ says your parents' faith can't get you there. He says all your works can't get you there. He said all your prayers can't get you there. All your tears, all your sighs, it can't get you there. But He can get you there. He's telling you, little ones, you got to come to Him. He's the way. He's the way to the Father. He's telling you who sit here, churchgoer, faithful churchgoer, all the days of your life you've been in church. You've even made a profession of faith. He's telling you, attendance isn't going to save you. He's telling you, being at every prayer meeting, that's not going to save you. He's telling you that He alone is the way to the Father. And if you want to be with the Father in heaven, then you're going to have to come through Me. There are some of you who are sitting here that don't care about church attendance, who don't care about religion at all. You're rebellious. You could care very little about the way to God. He's telling you right now that there is only one way. And don't sit here and think that God can be played with. And don't sit here and think that God is, oh, too loving to cast you out on the day of judgment. Or that He is too forgiving that there won't be one day that you'll come to know Him. Or in that last day, He'll say, you know what? Just come on in. Just come on in. Because My heart has wanted to save you, so I'll just do it. He's saying, no. You won't get there. Only Christ can get you to heaven. Only Christ is what He is claiming. I am the way. You know that song, not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. Not what my toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load. Oh, but Christ is claiming that He can save your guilty soul. He is claiming that He can make your spirit whole. He is claiming that He can give you peace with God, and that He, and He alone, can bear your awful load. You need to know that He, and He alone, is the way to heaven. And you need to believe. You see, He would not just have us understand that He is the way. He wants all here in this place right now to believe that He is the way to the Father. And to bank the entirety of your eternal welfare on that claim. On Him. As the song goes, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I am the way to God. I did not come to light a path, to blaze a trail that you may simply follow in my tracks, pursue my shadow like a prize that is cheaply won. My life reveals the life of God, the sum of all He is and does. So how can you, the sons of night, look on me and construe? My way is just the road for you to run. My path takes in Gethsemane, the cross and stark rejection draped in agony. My way to God embraces utmost loss. Your way to God is not my way, but me. Each other pathway is dismal swamp or fraud. I stand alone. I am the way to God. John Bunyan said, "There is an entrance into hell from the portals of heaven." Make no mistake that many men will come up with 10,000 different ways to get maybe even to the door of heaven. But there is only one man, the mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will get you in to heaven. Do not hope in anything other than the one and true way. Christ says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Well, if Christ is the way and the only way to the Father, on what basis can we believe this paramount claim? If one man is to make such a claim, such an exclusive claim, then he better have the right to make that claim. And if we are to believe such a claim, then we better make sure that he has the right to make such a claim. The Savior knows exactly what He is saying to His disciples. And so He says this astounding, He makes this astounding claim that "I am the way." But then He follows it with two more astounding claims. He says, "and the truth and the life." Christ would have us understand that He is the way, as Carson puts it, precisely because He is the truth and He is the life. And that brings us to our second point. We have looked or measured a little bit of the narrowness of the claim of Christ. He is the only way. But now let us dive in, if you will, and measure something of the depth of our Savior's claim. You see, the Savior is not claiming to be the only way because He is merely the possessor of truth, or because He holds in His hands life. But rather He is claiming to be the only way because He Himself is the truth and the life. I am the way because I alone am the revealer of God, and I alone have eternal life. This is a declaration of grand proportions. Do you know what Christ is saying in claiming to be the truth and the life? What is He saying? What's at stake in this statement? Christ is indeed saying that He is the only way to the Father. And if He is saying that, and not just that He is a conduit of truth and life, though He is that, but that He Himself is the truth and the life, then do we realize the implications of what this man is saying to us? Who alone can make a claim like that? Who alone can say, I am truth. I am life. This is a declaration of unrivaled divinity. If we boil it down, Jesus is simply saying that He is one with the Father. He is saying in one sense, I am the only way because I am the one and true and only living God. One man remarks that no prophet, teacher, or apostle ever used such words as these. They are the language of one who knew that He was God. And amazingly enough, while Christ is standing here with His disciples and making claims of divine supremacy, He is also simultaneously declaring or showing Himself to be the answer to our greatest needs. You say, what do you mean? Well, all who are born into this world are born into sin. You and I had not even the slightest desire to know God or to understand God, nor did we have the slightest ability to know or to understand God. But Christ is claiming to be the revealer of God. You see, when we were born into this world, we were born dead in our sins and trespasses. What can a dead man do? In case you don't know, the answer is absolutely nothing. There is no life in Him. Well, the good news is that Christ is claiming that He is life. I am the way because I am the truth and the life. So, let us look. He is the way because He is the revealer of God. Hebrews 1, 1 through 6. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world, who being the brightness of His glory, that is, God's glory, and the express image of His person. It's also in another translation said, and He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. Colossians 2:9. For in Him, that's in Christ, the revealer of God, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. Colossians 1:15. He is. Christ is the image of the invisible God. You know, 1 Timothy 3:16, what does it say of God? God was manifested in the flesh. John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Christ has exegeted the Father to us, not simply because He is a prophet who can speak the words of the Father and who cannot err in His speaking about the Father, but because He Himself is God, He can be the revealer of God. John 12:45, and He who sees Me, listen to what Christ is saying, He who sees Me sees Him who sent Me. John 14:7-11. We just read it. If you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. And from now on, from the time of My coming, you know Him and have seen Him. And then when He says to Philip, after Philip says, show Me the Father, have I been with you so long? Since the very beginning, remember, Philip's one of the first that He called. Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known Me, Philip? Christ is the revealer of God. He is the truth, and we need Him as such because we need someone to bring to us all that God has said and all that God is so that we ourselves might come to know Him. I am the truth of God. I do not claim, I merely speak the truth, as though I were a prophet, but no more. A channel stirred by spirit power, a purely human frame. Nor do I say that when I take His name upon my lips, my teaching cannot err, though this is true. A mere interpreter I'm not, some prophet voice of special fame. In timeless reaches of eternity, the triune God decided that the Word, the self-expression of the Deity, would put on flesh and blood and thus be heard. The claim to speak the truth, good men applaud. I claim much more. I am the truth of God. Why should we, dear people, rely on this one as the only way to heaven? Because He alone is the revealer of God. And in the second place, He claims not only that He is the truth, but that He is the life. John 5:21. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom He wishes. John 5:26. For just as the Father has life in Himself, even so He gave to the Son also to have life in Himself. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. As we've heard recently, John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he may die, he shall live. This is the bread that which comes down from heaven. Anyone who eats of it may live. John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. John 3:15, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. You see, this one who is claiming to be the life is not in some way claiming that life has been given to him merely to give to other people. He is claiming that no, in and of himself, he is life. That is, he is the source of life. Truth and life do not exist outside of Christ. He is the truth and the life. Acts 2:22-24, remember, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did through Him in your midst, as you yourselves also know Him. Being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be held by it. The grave can't hold Him in whom life exists. It cannot hold the life. And so it is in His coming and in His dying and in His being raised again on the third day on our behalf and having conquered death, that He now, the one in whom life consists, can freely offer life to all who will receive it. Christ Jesus can claim to be the truth and the life because He is the truth and the life. That is, He is the divine and eternal, omnipotent, pre-existing, eternally existing, infinitely wonderful and glorious One who has infinite power and who Himself can save sinners. He can come and offer life. He can come and say He is the truth, and He can claim to be the only way because He is the only God. Why should we trust the claim of this man, Jesus, and bank all of our eternal safety on this one? Because He alone is the life. He alone holds eternal life. I am the resurrection life. It's not as though I merely bear life-giving drink, a magic elixir which men might think. It's cheap because though lavish, it is not bought. The price of life was fully paid. I fought with death and black despair, for I'm the drink of life. The resurrection mourns the link between my death and endless life long sought. I am the firstborn from the dead, and by my triumph I deal death to lusts and hates. My life I now extend to men and ply them with the drought that ever satiates. Religion's page with empty boasts is rife, but I'm the resurrection and the life. Christ can claim that He is the way and the only way to the Father because He Himself is the truth and the life of God. He is the way and He is the truth. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. Dear hearer, saved and unsaved alike, do you know the way to the Father? Do you know the Savior? Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank You for Your Word, which brings comfort to our hearts. We thank You for Your Word that opens up to us the glories of who You are. We thank You that Christ is that Word, and that Word made flesh, who dwelt among us. And we thank You that He has revealed to us God, very God. And we thank You that He is life, and thus because He is life, and because He has died and risen again, that He freely offers life to all. Lord, we thank You that Christ is the way, and that He is indeed the only way to the Father. What comfort that brings us, because we do not have to discern if there are other ways. We do not have to figure out if there is a better way. We know that He and He alone can get us to heaven. Oh, how we long to be there. May every person in this room make certain today, oh God, by Your mercy and grace, that they know the way, that they know Christ Jesus. God, very God. It's in His name we pray. Amen.